Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Bengal Tiger podcast. I'm Billy Embody, back at it with Shay Dixon. Shay, it is good to be back with you on the pod again.
Tell everybody where you've been.
Been playing dad and consistently going to be doing that for the next however many years with our boy Jack Ryder, who came to us in the early morning of March 30th. So pumped. It's been awesome. Been great.
Playing dad sounds like you were stepping in for somebody for a few weeks. Your wife had a child, your first child, and yeah, you have been a dad. You have been a dad for the past. Billy has been on his own maternity leave the past few weeks, giving Michelle some help and baby Jack the mentorship that he needs as a youngin.
Yes. The board is thrilled for us. It seems like as well. Few people ask where he'll be ranked in the class of 2020, whatever it is already, but we're just letting him take it one day at a time. Respect his decision on what sports he'll play and if he plays sports and all that. So it's been awesome, though. It's a blast. So 10 out of 10 recommend.
As y'all can see, Billy used to just sit around behind a white wall. Now he's got all that stuff. The NIL deals are rolling through for baby Jack already.
We have just decided that I'm going to move to the complete opposite side of the house. So I'm in our dining room, and it is no longer decorated how Michelle had it decorated. I put my own spin on it. So there we are.
Well, we're back. All right. We've got a recruiting pod. We'll do a little mix of portal, but also have recruiting stuff in this one.
And we can't make people wait any longer, but we will for a second to mention that you should subscribe to the Bengal Tiger for just $1 for your first 2 months using code LSU1. That's LSU, the number one, to get 2 months of the BengalTiger.com for just $1. So check out that deal. And for good reason, LSU has been working on the defensive tackle position since the portal opened. They do have one on board with Gio Paez from Wisconsin. We've known that since the transfer portal window opened, but they are still working that hot board of sorts for the defensive tackle position. And LSU just wrapped up a visit with another defensive tackle. We'll talk about him in just a minute. They did host Phillip Blitty from Indiana, who committed to Auburn. But now, Shay, their eyes are set on a Big Ten transfer who they've had on campus the last couple days as we're recording, and they're hoping that pays off for them with a commitment from Simeon Barrow.
Yeah, this is one that when he hit the portal was immediately considered to be one of the most coveted guys out there. On our On3 rankings, he's the highest ranked uncommitted defensive tackle in the portal. So what, 4 years at Michigan State, he's a grad student, he'll have a year of eligibility remaining, or at least has a 1 year coming up of eligibility remaining, but big size, can play multiple spots on the D-line, has a ton of production already from Michigan State. They got him on campus Sunday, Billy. He's leaving, he told me, around lunch on Tuesday. We are recording this at lunch on Tuesday, so that visit's wrapping up. So by the time you're listening to this, the good news might be that he's committed. The other news might be that he's not, and he's going to take visits. LSU was his first visit, though. He entered last week, Billy. And so far, there have been no other visits publicly set. I'll see what Barrow says afterwards. But I had heard teams that had been blowing him up even while on the LSU visit to say, hey, wait, at least visit us. We're programs like Miami, Southern Cal. And then, Billy, you had heard Oklahoma was kind of in the mix there as well. FSU had been mentioned, but you had said Oklahoma. I had heard Miami, Southern Cal. So you get kind of the drift here, right, that a lot of big-name schools are hitting him up to say, hey, don't shut it down yet. Come visit us.
And it's funny. We just had Andy Staples on the Bengal Tiger podcast. That'll drop later this week if you're listening to this on Tuesday. But he and I were talking about it's the same schools that need defensive tackle help for the most part. And for the most part, it's these SEC schools involved with these players from out of the conference. And that makes sense because you can't transfer SEC to SEC right now. So for LSU to go after Simeon Barrel, definitely the right move. I posted some tidbits on the board over the weekend on Saturday. The staff does have some ties here to him, both with people around him and just kind of always keeping a close eye on him as well, because he did flirt with portaling in the fall after the Mel Tucker debacle. So that was reported on. So there were a lot of schools around the country that were just at least watching him. And so LSU and the staff that, you know, Bo Davis, Blake Baker, you know, you keep an eye on guys like that wherever you're at. And we'll talk about best available players in a moment. But yeah, this would be a kind of a slam dunk type of addition for LSU if they can get him on board. 18.5 tackles for loss, 10.5 sacks over his time at Michigan State, which involved 34 career games with 30 starts, all Big Ten honorable mention. When you look at bringing in defensive tackles, and this is a part of the reason why they brought in Gio Paez, you need depth. You need guys to rotate. They're big, big humans. And even the offensive line, you're starting to see just a little bit of rotation from teams so that these guys can keep up with the wear and tear of these fast-paced offenses, and it's no different for defensive tackles. You've got to have depth, and you've got to have different guys that can play their role. Simeon Barrow would be an instant starter type of addition for LSU.
Yeah, this and a guy we'll talk about here in a second, and Dominic Williams out of TCU, Billy, would be considered, as you've noted on the board, 1A, 1B. If you had like a wish list, right, of like these guys are considered the top guys available, I'm with you. That last year your interior rotation didn't have much of one, and thank goodness they signed Jordan Jefferson, because even at four guys with Guillory, Jefferson, and then you were starting Wingo and starting Mason Smith, those guys were still carrying tons of snaps. So you only return two scholarship D tackles, Jalen Lee and Guillory. Guillory is the only one who's ever started. He's got three starts under his belt. He had a good spring. But where do you continue to build? I mean, we saw them move Kimo Makaniole from O-line to D-line. We saw them put a preferred walk-on in Preston Hickey with the two deep. So we knew when Brian Kelly came out and said, hey, the spring portal window is opening, and I don't see a position we need to focus on other than defensive tackle, were his words. I think you could just say more than defensive tackle. And so far, the only offers out have been to defensive tackles. We'll see if they do, you know, touch on any other positions. They are now under the 85-man limit. The roster publicly shows 82 scholarship players. Most recently, Joe Cryer, who was a signee for them in 2024. This past cycle, signed in December. Went through spring ball. They let him out of his LOI, and he's going to be entering the portal. So he will head elsewhere. Best of luck to Joe. Great kid. We enjoyed covering him. Nasty O-lineman. But we'll see where he lands. Puts LSU at 82 again publicly on the roster. I've heard it wants to. They want to be down to that 79-80 range, which allows them to both, Billy, add players, but then even if you're under the 85, it's then benefiting you for the next offseason, where you have more shuffling and have to balance more scholarships and need wiggle room. So that was kind of their goal. So with a week left of the portal being open, I would not be surprised if that's not, if Joe Cryer isn't the last name we hear enter.
Yeah, there's got to be a little bit of shuffling there to allow them to add some of those best available types, but they're still hammering away on defensive tackles. We'll keep an eye on CJ West from Kent State, another one of the top guys who's in the portal. Dominic Williams would be, I think, kind of a slam dunk as well, in the same light as Simeon Barrow. Dominic Williams is a guy that has really impressed me. He was heavy, overweight as a senior, and kind of TCU just kind of hung around. Their defensive line coach when he signed with the Horned Frogs was Chidiro Uzodiribe, who left for Georgia right after they signed him at TCU. And they had been recruiting him when that staff was at SMU. They were kind of just hanging around with, like, I think Cal, and they saw the vision. He dropped his weight and he was an instant starter for the Frogs and really became a force in the middle of that defense that is undergoing some changes there in Fort Worth. But Dominic's been the brightest spot, you could argue, over the last 2 years for TCU's defense He's looking for a fresh start, and LSU's swinging big there. Again, you look at defensive tackles, a lot of the same schools are involved. A lot of them have seen some coaching changes over the last couple of years as well. And so LSU is going to hope that they can get one of those two guys on board at the very least. And we'll see. There's still 8 more days in the portal, 7 more days. Terrence Brooks, a starter for Texas, just entered at corner. So I don't know. Maybe Corey Raymond can dial him up and see if they can get a visit set up.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Yeah, we've sort of jumped a little bit all over here from our rundown of what we said we were going to talk about to immediately getting into D-tackle talk, but I think that's just what the people want to hear right out of the gate. So we will know something here, at least on Simeon Barrow Jr. out of Michigan State's plans to either maybe commit to LSU or take more visits and then see where things go. As Billy mentioned, Dominic Williams comes in Friday to Sunday. He's got a number of visits, couple that he's already been on. That'll be 3 before he even hits LSU's campus. LSU currently the final scheduled official visit or visit, but won't be surprised if he adds more because, again, he's just a guy who has played 2 years, started in every game, has a lot of eligibility left, and is a really good player. So that those two are 2 to watch. Kent State, CJ West, who had been reportedly set to visit this week but had not locked in a date. I've been told by sources that it won't be this week. They pushed it back. Could it be next week? We'll see if he locks in a date. He was at Wisconsin on Monday. He'll be at Indiana on Friday, Miami next Monday. Miami, another school in the search for DTs, as so many schools are. But I think right now we pay most attention to Barrow, Dominic Williams, and then what other guys hit the portal in the next 7 days, because we've talked about it a lot on the site, Billy, that we hear there will be at least one name, if not two, that could hit the portal on the D-line that LSU would instantly be involved with. If that does happen, that gives you another body. I think they come away with probably 3 DTs in the spring window.
Yeah, that would be the goal. Be very ideal for LSU to address the position that way. And then that also takes a lot of pressure off of a Dominic McKinley to be that dude right away. Demarion Johnson did play in the spring game, which is kind of funny. I didn't really realize he enrolled early. I think he told us no at one point, but I was rewatching the spring game at about 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning one of the days, and there he was out there in the middle of a tough situation with how thin the defensive line is. But they're working to address that position. Bo Davis is kind of in the same boat that Corey Raymond is in terms of having to rebuild that room. The good thing for Bo Davis is they did sign 2 elite defensive linemen in Gabriel Relaford and Dominic McKinley this past cycle. But you do want to maybe address this position where you can take some of the heat, so to speak, off of those type of guys, allow them to maybe work their way into the rotation and lean on some guys that have done it for a while. And I've talked about it on the board, but part of the reason why I like Jordan Jefferson so much is because when he came in, he had power conference experience. He played against good competition and was a multi-year contributor. That's hard to do. And so when you have guys that have at least shown that, you can lean on them a little bit more and maybe just stack a group of players that can all help each other. Because with these big guys, sometimes a backup solid rotational piece at 100% is better than having to have your starter out there for 85% of the snaps.
Yeah, when Arwingo admittedly playing at 70% last year when Jordan Jefferson's his backup, and as you said, is 100%. So exactly. The more guys you have, the better. We'll see how this unfolds. But right now, those are the main portal targets, DT-wise, that have hit. We'll see which others hit. And if they make any moves at corner, do they grab a best available? At another position, do they grab a best available? But again, 3 open scholarships right now. We expect that number to dip by at least one more, if not more. And then we'll see where they go with this D tackle route and how many available scholarships that gives them to hit that 85 man limit from there. So seven more days and then an eventful stretch after that, because remember, guys, that, and girls, women, everyone who's listening, you just have to enter the portal by the 30th. You can stretch it out as long as you want. So guys could still be out there at D tackle beyond the next 7 days and just be uncommitted. So this could play out for a bit here.
Yeah. And another position that LSU is looking to address is probably that cornerback spot. Shay, where would you go on some of these? Where would you address if you're LSU? If you've got, let's say you're down to 79 scholarships, where would you address for this 2024 season? What would you be your best available take?
I mean, I think there's so many nuances to it. Like, do I agree that you could go get a running back that would give you depth, you know, and they feel Trey Holly will be back, but even when none of the Trey Hollies off the field arrest stuff were coming into play, people thought, is four running backs enough? You know, one gets injured, you're down to three. I could see that being it, but then you have to immediately say, okay, that person has to have really only 1 year of eligibility left, because you're about to bring in Harlan Berry and JT Lindsey and Caden Durham this year, you know, for this year's team, let alone whatever else you've added in the future, a portal guy next year. You don't want anyone on roster for a long period of time. Two, no one's going to come here like a massive star running back, because those guys right now, beyond NIL, they want to be guaranteed touches. I want 15 touches a game. I want 18 touches a game. I want 20 touches a game. That's not going to happen when they have Josh Williams and Caleb Jackson on the team, let alone Durham coming in, Holly being back. So every position I pick, it probably would come with a bit of a story like that. Straight need, I would probably say I would take a best available corner if a guy popped up that made sense.
Yeah, and corner is one of the positions that has not delivered, at least until a couple minutes ago with Terrence Brooks entering, a true steady starter, kind of consistent level of cornerback. Ed Woods, you can argue, from Arizona State. Obviously, people talk about Cormani McClain, but he kind of has some baggage here and there. But this is a position that, just for whatever reason so far in the portal, hasn't delivered that easy to just go and say, all right, that's the best available guy. Let's go ahead and let's jump all over that player. And so we'll be keeping an eye on that spot. I think corner is definitely a spot that they would love to address. I would honestly say receiver. You know, they've lost Kai Prion. They've got some younger guys. They've got a talented 2024 bunch that's coming in. But I think just with some of the uncertainty maybe around that position, maybe you bring in one more, just a one-year kind of stopgap if you could find the right guy to address that position group. Just because with a first-year starting quarterback, I mean, Kyron Lacy's done it as a third guy for a couple years for LSU. CJ Daniels is new. He's taking a step up from Liberty. I think he's got a chance to be good. You just got a lot of variables there. Try to hedge your bet just a little bit, or minimize the risk, I should say, and bring in a true best available type of receiver at that spot.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they're good at receiver. I like where they're at receiver.
I'm not saying they're going to. Last spring, I said they should bring in a running back very early. A lot of people kind of thought maybe they wouldn't. They end up bringing in Logan Diggs, and they needed all the depth there last season. But I think I agree with you on the running back spot this year. A lot harder with those guys that are coming in, and you see a young back like a Caleb Jackson, and then you have a veteran with Josh Williams to kind of sell it. There's a lot more uncertainty with the running back room last year.
I'm with you. DT, and I'm not shocked that's been the offers so far. Yep. And again, look, punter is one that Brian Kelly said, I want to see competition at. Do they test that? Peyton Todd is not hitting the portal that we've heard of. So is it him versus a scholarship guy, a PWO, an Aaron Burrell, you know, who's coming in this summer and can also punt? I don't know the answer, but that's another spot that they said they'd like to see some competition at. So I don't know. April 30th, that's the cutoff date. We'll know a lot more after that.
Yeah. So again, jump on board with the Bengal Tiger for just $1 for 2 months with code LSU1. That's LSU, the number one. That's a special code for all of our friends watching on YouTube or listening on our podcast platforms, wherever you catch the pod at. Also, Jay, I think it's a safe time to remind our friends to take a look at jumping on board with our friend Andy Ludeke and MyPerfectFranchise.net. If you are ready to leave that corporate rat race for the American dream, or you're looking for a side hustle while working your current job, or just wanting to diversify, build wealth, or leave a legacy for your family, your friends, whoever, Andy can help. He's a franchise consultant as well as a franchise owner, and he helps people find franchises that fit their skill sets, passion, financial requirements, time requirements, and all the reasons why people get involved with franchise. His services are 100% free, and he's here to help if you have any questions. You can reach out to him at 404-973-9901. You can email him, Andy, A-N-D-Y, at MyPerfectFranchise.net. He'll get you all hooked up. He's always talking with us and our On3 team about different franchise opportunities and what's the hot trend right now, what's trending away, what hasn't been as successful for other people, or what is just overall business-wise not, you know, gaining as much traction as maybe it once was. He'll guide you in that right direction. He's been doing it for so long now, and that's why he's a trusted partner with us at On3 and thebengaltiger.com. So reach out to Andy Ludeke at Andy, A-N-D-Y, at MyPerfectFranchise.net for more information. All right, Jay, back to the high school ranks we go. LSU battling for that number one recruiting class. Since we last talked, the spring game, we've seen a commitment. JT Lindsey as well happened while I was away for a little bit. This has been a really fun time to be, obviously, following recruiting. But we are seeing those wins kind of shift as the month gets closer to May, when really official visits start heating up. And then that really sprint of June comes our way. When I look at the class overall, I think LSU obviously has a really nice base here. They've addressed a lot of needs. They've got a ton of star power committed right now. But the part of the class that intrigues me the most with what will happen is, quite frankly, right now, the wide receiver room. Because you have DeCorian Moore, you have an in-state guy in Teron Francis committed, but you're also recruiting Kalik Lockett. You're recruiting Jamie French. You've got a lot of other irons in the fire of guys that have stepped foot on campus over the course of the spring. And of course, there's always the Louisiana guy that they could eval this summer like they did last year and offer and go in on. I think for me, Kalik Lockett, though, is probably the biggest mover right now in terms of LSU interest after he got on campus for that spring game visit to Baton Rouge.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, I wanted to ask first and foremost, what was your reaction to the Lindsey news? Because to set the stage, forever we talked about Harlan Berry and James Simon as the two guys they were going after. We had mentioned JT Lindsey out of Alexandria a number of times on the podcast when the On3 rankings team went from him being ranked nowhere to back in February ranking him not only in the On300, but the number 11 running back in the country. He stayed put there in the most recent rankings. He ran a 10-7 the other weekend up in Scotlandville. LSU's got him at 6 foot. You see on there, 5'11", 185. They've got him at 6 foot, over 190 right now. I've seen him in person. He's not a small kid. But thoughts on that move of, hey, we're not going to wait around. And on Simon, who's taking 8+ unofficial visits before official visits, we're jumping on a Louisiana kid that we feel good about right now. And an offer led to a commitment, Billy, in the span of about 2 days.
Yeah, I really like the take, first and foremost. I mean, that is a guy who's earned it on the field. He's backed it up with good measurables and good times away from it as well. So he checks all the boxes of what you look for with a running back, and getting him on board was absolutely the right move for Frank Wilson and the staff. And I think two things could be true at once. JT Lindsey deserved an LSU offer. He deserved to be pushed for, and they did that. They got him. He's a really good pickup. A lot to be excited about with him. We've got him as a borderline, you know, a guy who could go up in theory in the rankings into the top 100 with another strong season. But at worst, I mean, he's sitting there squarely in the on 300 at 158 overall, number 11 running back for on three. This is a guy who's highly thought of. And so he deserved to be pushed for, and he is a really, really good take and a guy LSU fans should be excited about, especially when you pair him with a Harlan Berry, the number one running back in the country. And there's also what we'll talk about, too, a little bit more, where James Simon kind of, you know, taking his time. He's no stranger to the recruiting process and now is kind of wrapped up his run of unofficial visits. His dad spoke with On3 and said they're unsure if they're going to take officials at this point. They're going to talk, you know, kind of reset and talk about it as a family, from what he said, at least. That's kind of disappointing that LSU hasn't been able to get James Simon on board. You know, there are a lot of ties there with the staff to James Simon. And but at the end of the day, you have two of the best running backs in the country committed. So it's a good thing that they're able to do that still. But, you know, James Simon for a long time was billed as somebody that, you know, how could you not see him at LSU with all the ties and all the times he's been on campus? So,
And look, maybe he ends up at LSU, but it's clear they weren't going to play the waiting game, as you said, when you've got the number 11 running back in the country ready to get on board and you feel good about him as a player.
And they shouldn't have waited. That was the right move. So much. I mean, look at the battle that they ended up having to go through because they waited for like a Gabe Relaford just to try and like see what they were missing a little bit. A lot of changes on the defensive side of the ball and personnel and staffing and things like that, but it's okay to go ahead and see the production, see the track, see the measurables, and go in on JT Lindsey this early in a sense and pull him in. I mean, it was absolutely the right move. They didn't wait around. They trusted it, and kudos to them for doing that. Sometimes with Louisiana guys, like you kind of allude to on the board, don't overthink it. There are a lot of guys that are going to, you know, merge, and they're going to end up panning out. So don't wait. Just, you know, if you feel good enough about it, don't overthink it. Pull the trigger, and it paid off with that JT Lindsey commitment.
I'm in complete agreement. I thought it was a great take for him. They're kind of jockeying with Ohio State right now, back and forth and back and forth of who's the number one recruiting class in the country. I think we'll continue to see that play out for into the, you know, beyond the spring, summer months of those two teams being at the top. But great spot for LSU to be in. To go back to what you were originally saying, to get Underwood and Harlan Berry on campus, two of your five stars, top rated guys, number one at their position, quarterback and running back, on campus again is always huge. To do it when guys like Khalik Lockett are around, the number two receiver in the country, are even bigger, because let's be real, that's what they were, the hope of selling to Corian Moore, the number one receiver in the country, on not just committing to LSU in the beginning, but staying part of the class, was you're coming in not just as the top receiver, but with the number one quarterback, with the number one running back. And it came as a shock when DeCorian Moore committed to LSU. Really the timing of it, because so many people considered him, hey, look, guys, this is a Texas lock. He's got a lot of UT people around him. Goes to Duncanville, they'll be good. They're getting Colin Simmons. They'll just keep this rolling. And a few days later, after Colin Simmons and Durham both commit, Durham to LSU, DeCorian commits to LSU and he's stuck with him. Now, he has made visits to Texas since then. That one will go all the way to signing day, but it's no different then, right, to sell another Texas receiver and the number two receiver, Khalik Lockett, on the same thing. You'd be coming in with the number one quarterback and the number one running back on an offense that just finished number one in the country. And you can dive deeper because you went out there and you actually hung out with Khalik and, you know, his coaches, and he went through some training the other morning, bright and early. Billy woke up and drove down there. But the vibe is that whatever LSU's pitching is working.
Yeah, it is. And with Khalik Lockett, you know, you're looking at one of the top, you know, receivers in the country overall, and a five-star, and a guy that if you're sitting there looking at the on three RPM, you're seeing obviously that Texas is sitting there at the top of it, but LSU's made a really strong impression here on the Sachse, Texas native. And I think for me, a couple of big takeaways, him and DeCorian are pretty close. And these Dallas guys in particular really stick together when it comes to kind of just how they think about each other in the same light. It's more of a Dallas versus Houston type of mindset. And so when you have a guy as highly touted as Kalik, just up, 75 or however you want to get down to Duncanville, when you have those type of guys that are that close and tight, and it kind of makes sense with how much they've been around each other, both at LSU and Texas, really, or in terms of being recruited by the same schools, you would hope that they built kind of a rapport that, hey, we can do this together. We don't have to be going elsewhere. And that's kind of the idea that LSU's pitched him on. And I think it's really taken well by Kalik. And so I've got them firmly in the mix. And at this point, if he had to make a decision today, I kind of lean that Kalik would end up at LSU. He's still going to obviously go through his official visits, but he told me at least that he could shut it down at any time. Like if he feels like it's best, he's not releasing a top 10, 5, whatever. He said they're corny, quite frankly. And he just wants to go through his process. He's kept it fairly close to the vest with family, friends. He wants to go somewhere like an LSU, like a Texas, where they have highly touted quarterbacks either on or going to their roster. And, that's kind of where LSU, that recruitment's at. I feel like it's an LSU-Texas battle at this stage. And who knows, it could swing back and forth a little bit in terms of the rumor mill or whatnot. But LSU did an unreal job with his visit. And the whole premise is, look, like you said, come team up with Bryce Underwood. But Bryce really impressed on that visit too. You know, he's a very normal guy. And that's from, I spent some time around him at the Battle Miami tournament way before he was committed. He's just a cool customer. He doesn't really make it too much about himself. And that really sticks out to a guy like Kalik Lockett.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Well, they have a shot. Hey, they have a shot at getting – they have the number one. Could they hold him? And can they get the number two receiver? Good time to be an LSU fan on offense right now. Let's see. What other notable recruiting stuff is caught your mind from your couple weeks away?
I think Bryce Underwood being as locked in as he is. And during kind of my time away, so to speak, taking a jack on like a walk, I'll – jump on the phone a little bit more than maybe I have in the past and been able to pick the mind of some people. But Bryce is super locked in, and I think that's so rare at times when you look at some of these highly touted prospects. I've got multiple people. You can hear it from an LSU source and say, okay, great. He's locked in. He's telling you guys all the right things. But when you hear it from all over the country and different prospects and different people, they're saying, no, man, this guy is recruiting us. He's not taking any visits. His dad told us, oh, we're not talking to other schools. That is so important for LSU that you never have that peace of mind and the staff doesn't operate like that, because I don't want people to go after Joe Sloan thinking he's chilling with the number one player. But they recruit him every day like he's uncommitted. But he is that locked in. It's so important for LSU's class, because – even if a DeCorian Moore ends up going to Texas and you land Kalik Lockett, or you see some other shifting, you have the number one overall prospect in the country, and you got to feel real good about everything holding in place for him to sign with LSU. And so as the spring happened, we haven't seen him pop up anywhere else. We haven't heard a peep about anyone getting in there. That's really good news for LSU. That's my biggest takeaway.
Nope. Totally with you. We talked about JT or James Simon a little bit with JT Lindsey committing. Simon is finishing up this 8-stop tour. The buzz is around Texas a little bit as a team kind of to continue to keep an eye on. So we'll watch that one. Any thoughts there? I know we talked just about the JT Lindsey addition, but do you think James Simon could, before official visits, pop to a school?
Yeah, I guess he could. I'm intrigued to see what happens with him, because I don't think, and I mean, this is why fans are fans. I don't think JT Lindsey being a take for LSU and being committed all of a sudden means James Simon's not as good of a prospect, shouldn't be a priority for LSU to try and get a third running back in the class, and doesn't mean that James Simon doesn't like LSU. It's just him going through the prospect process. This is a coach's kid who's been pretty vocal about how and exactly like how he wants to go through his process, and he stuck to it. I mean, very few prospects just release their entire visit schedule and say, hey, here's where I'm going over the next month and a half. It's laid out there. Not many guys do that. And so I've got a lot of respect for James and how he's going about the process. It's probably taken a little longer than maybe it should, considering how many visits he's taken to all of these schools. I mean, there are, you know, he's been to Texas multiple times, like not just this year. He's kind of been a constant, and he's been to Notre Dame. I could see them maybe making a move and finding a way to land him. But, you know, at this point, you just keep recruiting him. LSU's got a need to sign three running backs, I think, in my opinion, just kind of with some of the uncertainty. And the class of 2025 is that good in Louisiana. Just try to keep all three of them home and see how the chips fall. So I can see him ending up at Texas, LSU, Notre Dame, maybe somewhere else, but he's going through his process.
Those are two schools I'd circle as well. One thing we can wrap up with this, Billy, that we've been asked a lot about, and we've talked about it. I've given my two cents that when will the D-line commits from high school start rolling in? And Bo Davis, obviously, that's a major splash hire from them coming from Texas. He had spent a long time at Alabama and Texas as a D-line coach, and now comes back to where he played football, got his coaching career started at LSU. And one thing's held true. It's just like with Jamar Cain when he was at OU and came to LSU. When you're at Texas and you come to LSU and now you've got to start recruiting kids who are signing within 9 months in the early signing period, 10 months, you're going to pick up with guys you had already been recruiting. So we've seen a lot of Texas kids who he was already on. That's who he's kind of after. We've seen a lot of kids visit. I said, I think in the next month, if not two, and then that pours into all of June camp being complete. So right now we're in the beginning of an eval period. June is summer camps, but also smashed in between that, kids will be making unofficial and official visits. So give it a month, I say two max, and they'll have at least two, or if not more, D-linemen committed. I think he used the spring in these first few months to say, all right, I want to go into the eval season knowing here's my guys that I'm going after.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And look, Bo's kind of a silent assassin. I mean, he is not, you know, he's just old school. And so he's kind of, you know, the LSU D-line board is not a state secret. I mean, we've got pretty much all the official visitors on the BengalTiger.com as far as who they're going to bring in. There are a couple that with these big guys are usually a little quieter. And, you know, Brandon Brown, for example, the Texas commit that Bo hosted over the course of the spring game, that's a big, big target for him. And we kind of assume that, but Brandon kind of keeps things close to the vest. But we thought at some point he would pop up on LSU's campus, and he did. I think he's somebody that you can squarely circle, you know, for LSU as far as them pushing for, and Bo Davis was a huge reason why he committed to Texas. He was the reason. I don't even think he had met Sark or talked to Sark before he committed to Texas. And now LSU has him on campus for their spring game, and they're reconnecting. And so I do think that over the next 2 months, I mean, official visit season is going to stretch into that end part of June, and we start seeing some decisions get made. And by that point, Bo Davis should have a couple D tackles on board that you've got to feel good about, and you know, just start building up that depth a little bit. They're recruiting a lot of D tackles. They've got to come away with a couple, and they will.
I think the magic number is three. I think that's what they'll land at.
Yeah, I think that would be any combination of, you know, a Brandon Brown, a Zion Williams, a Jeremiah McLeod. They've got Xavier Upanu who's going to visit this summer. They've got Dylan Battle who's going to visit this summer. They've got all sorts of options, and they're going to also bring in a lot of guys from Louisiana to camp. There's a lot of Louisiana defensive linemen, and in particular defensive tackles, that kind of have that group of offers that are ranging from group of fives to maybe like one power four type of program or two power four type of programs that have offered. Maybe there's somebody out of that group that emerges and they've said, okay, let's take him. We feel good about adding that depth and doing it with a guy from the boot.
Nope, I hear you. Again, I think best available, if they have the spots, we'll see. But things are rolling well. Like I said, still ranked number one on three, LSU's class, jockeying back and forth on the industry rankings with Ohio State. And the goal for the portal was DTs. Billy, they've got one committed in Paez. We'll see about if another one or two enter that they can really jump into the mix for. But to sum it all up, the goal seems to come away with one of these guys of Barrow at Michigan State, Dominic Williams at TCU, and maybe a CJ West at Kent State, TBD.
Yeah, that would be very ideal. That would put them in a real good spot defensively. They can upgrade their front group, and they can maybe put some pressure on the quarterback and maybe save these corners a little bit of a headache or whatever if they can address that spot. Because corners, we'll see. A few more days to go in the portal window. If they don't see a starting one enter, that's tough. Just going to need to make sure they reel in some of these D tackles. So with that.
Anything else? We've covered plenty.
Yeah. Good long recruiting pod for you. You're guys. Back. Things off. We are back. We'll be back next week with another recruiting pod. Also, stay tuned for our podcast with Andy Staples as well from On3's national side of things, talking LSU spring, SEC, national landscape, the NFL draft, and more. So hope you guys enjoyed this edition of the recruiting podcast. Subscribe wherever you get your podcast, and also to our YouTube channel as well. Appreciate all you guys who have jumped on board with us at the Bengal Tiger. Thanks for bearing with Maddie B and Shay as they had to run things by themselves while I waited around for a feeding or just hanging out with my baby boy. So I appreciate them for stepping up so much. It's a lot of fun, but it made their lives a little more hectic the last few weeks. So,
well, Zion got hurt and Pels lost the first game, all seemed lost to them. And guess what? They won the second game of the play-in, got in with an undermanned roster, and now they're rocking in the playoffs. So, that's what we did for you. We stepped up when Zion went out there.
Yeah, I need my Lightning to step up tonight in game two. So we'll see.
Well, best of luck to baby Jack. Congrats.
Hoping can't have him go down 0-2.
He saw a national championship in LSU women's gymnastics, the first in program history. Maybe he can get himself a Lightning World Cup here or a Stanley Cup here soon.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks so much for listening, guys. We will catch you guys next time with another edition of the Bengal Tiger Recruiting Podcast.